Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We also link to our guests' website, so you can check out the information that we have shared on this program. We encourage you to do that. That's what this is all about, is sharing the information and getting it out to anybody and everybody, if you can think of it that way, that is in need of it. And if it resonates with you, wonderful. If it doesn't, well, that's fine, too. There's always another program. There's always another guest, and there's always another link. Like a link to our guest, Dr. Toni Rivera. She is going to share with us about some very interesting things. The Parallel Heart is the title of her book, Moving from Injury to Insight. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program today. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Richard. And the book is The Propelled Heart, Moving from Injury to Insight.
The Propelled Heart is the title of the book. And again, it's I think it's the issue of dealing with health. We do that a lot on this program, and people are doing it all the time. I mean, it's an issue that is frustrating for some because they're dealing with all kinds of conditions and issues and maladies and ailments, or as we like to call them, diseases, because
yes,
usually that's the case where, you know, we're not at ease in our bodies for whatever the reasons might be.
I love that you use that term. I also, in you know, use that term very much with my clients, because dis-ease is just what it is. We want to restore the ease to being in our body, and many times it can be a challenge.
I'm curious as to the title, The Propelled Heart. Explain to us, if you would, where you came up with this. Again, moving from injury to insight. Normally, I'd probably look at that as moving from injury to health or wellness or something of that nature. But give us, if you would, a little background on the title that you've come up with.
Well, thank you for asking again. The Propelled Heart is a term used by one of my spiritual teachers, and it's a term used to describe when a person decides to learn from their life experiences, from their relationships, from the things that are presented in their everyday life, and propelled to understanding and knowing. So there's the first part of the title. And then I was inspired with the second part of the title, From Injury to Insight. For many of us can get stuck in injury and the story of the injury or what happened long ago. Why me? How could these people possibly have hurt me? Or how could that? Why me? Am I always getting hurt? Whatever it is. And actually, we could look a little deeper underneath and, in trying to learn from it, have an insight into the gifts or the learnings that we can share with other people through having insight about our injury. So there was the twist.
Indeed, indeed. So when you, I guess the first thing is, I'm always interested in how people became involved, if you will, to put it in that context, or interested in the subject that they write about, or that their life's purpose, if you will, is focused upon. How did this all begin for you?
It's an interesting question, because I had always been believed in the body healing itself, even from a very young age. Not many enjoy shots and things like that, but I was always wanting to let my body heal itself. And really, that's where all healing comes from, no matter what modality we choose to stimulate that healing. It is the body that heals. And I happened to meet some chiropractors, and it's kind of a long story, but I knew that was what I was born to do. And I had grown up in Puerto Rico, and I went back to Puerto Rico after graduating from chiropractic college, and was the only chiropractor in my area. So I was inundated with clients, and in seeing so many people all day long, I saw that when mental emotional issues repeated, the same types of problems repeated in those people's lives. So I became fascinated with that connection, body, mind, spirit, emotions, and how they interplayed, and then spent a quest. I've been in practice now 30 years, and in those first 10 years of practice, stimulated me to want to learn more And I began training with different people and found Alana Rubenfeld, who really pulled it all together for me and taught me how to help people become aware of their own body and what it means to them, the way they feel. And that began the journey. And it's been an amazing journey. So instead of just looking at an injury or a pain and trying to take the pain away or cure the symptom, is really to the body's trying to convey a message about our lives and about our feelings about our lives. And if we can learn to listen to what our individual body's telling us, we can get a lot more out of any kind of treatment and actually heal the deeper issues that are creating the physical problem.
You know, I know, and I can completely concur with what you're saying in terms of the body's talking to us through our pain, our injury, what have you. I'm curious as to whether or not you have compiled any kind of list. And again, I understand that everybody's condition is individual. Even if 10 people have exactly the same, supposedly the same malady or illness or disease, each one still may be having a different reason for it. But have you found any commonalities in that regard?
Well, it is such an interesting question, and there are books out that are extremely popular and certainly a place to start that have divided up the different areas of the body, for instance, and saying, well, if it's your knees, it's moving forward. If it's your feet, it's standing your ground. And what I found is even though that's a place to start the conversation, those books are very good at identifying that kind of generality. And then to go deeper into what exactly, like what kind of pain or sensation are you having in your knees? Is it pinching? Is it pulling? Is it pulsing? Is it electrical? And then are there colors? Is there a memory? Does it remind you of something? And there's where the unique experience comes in of the individual, and they can take those beginning steps farther. So I usually don't want to give people ideas in the beginning. I like to leave, if you will, the slate clean so mm-hmm. that when they start looking inside, I haven't already planted a seed from outside. I want them to look inside.
Now, that's I find that extraordinary in that not many people do that. It's one of those things where when I think about practitioners or intuitives in particular, I never want to give out a lot of information because I want them to give it to me. But by the same token, with intuitives, it's more I'm going to them to confirm what I already know from my perspective. And maybe in this way, it's the same thing with our physicians or our health practitioners, because nowadays people are seeking out all kinds of different possibilities. Now, for myself, and I have to say that I have this one sort of insurance policy, you know, that allows me to submit these forms every time I have a doctor's appointment, depending upon what it is, then they reimburse me X number of dollars.
Right.
Well, I pulled up my appointment schedule for the year 2015, and I realized that I had visited the doctor 10 times. Now, not the same one, different ones, but nonetheless, right. 10 different times. And I thought, what the heck am I doing? Why am I going there 10 different times throughout the year? And I mean, and so I'm thinking, okay, who can I go to to minimize the number of trips, to accelerate and energize my body so that I don't have those aches, those pains, the high blood pressure, hypertension, whatever you want to call it. And all of those different types of things. In terms of alternative health and wellness practitioners, where do you fall in that kind of in that aspect?
Well, that's such a great question. Now, I want to go back a little bit because I find what you're saying fascinating about how people will come and want the practitioner to tell them, right?
Yeah.
Right. To have, and I find that. Even though I know, I'll put in quotes, because I have had the fortune with all my experience to develop an intuitive sense, and the thing is I always want to hold what I know, in quotes, to inside myself and ask the person that is guiding me, perhaps, to, like, I have a way of scanning when I'm working with people privately, to knowing where I should go, where I need to put my hands. And I'm very much, to answer part of the second question, a hands-on practitioner. I everything's by hand. I don't use machines of any kind. So I know where to go. Then I'll go to that place, and my hands, because of my experience and my training, anatomy, physiology being very, very much a part of my training, and I have continued to pursue those endeavors and getting better and better and more knowledgeable. So I can touch and know what layer, what tissue layer is starts to treat there. Is it, we're using the knee, is it the muscle, is it the ligament, is it the cartilage, is it the meniscus, etc. But instead of giving that diagnosis to the person right away, I'll say, what does this place feel like to you between my hands? And then they start to describe, and as we're following that story from their perspective and their awareness, I'm also working with those physiological layers as my chiropractor self. And we can come to a place of having the body respond tremendously because they're very aware and engaged inside on a deeper level than if we were just talking about their knee. For example, if I started talking about my anatomical knowledge and I bring them into their intellect and they're trying to follow me on that level, they're not going to get the same experience, and the body doesn't respond as well as if they were in an altered kind of more, instead of beta, maybe alpha state, if we talk brainwaves. If they go a little deeper, we're going to get the body to respond better. And then after the treatment, we discuss. And I explain, this is what I found, this is what happened, this is how often you need to come or whatever on that level. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, very much so. Very much so to me. I hope to our listeners as well. And again, this whole aspect of health and wellness, this isn't anything new. I mean, as a kid growing up, my mother was doing everything she could to give us, the best start that she could as far as the food that she, the meals that she made for us and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing is, and I joke about this, and I love my mother dearly, she does not remember, and hasn't for 20 or 30 years, and she's in her 80s, she does not remember the fact that she used to give us cod liver oil as children. Now, wasn't a big fan of it, but yet at the same time, now as an adult, knowing what I know, that was a good thing.
That was a very good thing.
Yeah.
And now all the research is showing how the fish oils have such nutrition for us, and that, you know, it might have been like an old wives' tale or something. People didn't know, but perhaps intuitively knew that was building your resistance and building your tissues up to a point where you had your own natural resistance to things.
Exactly. Speaking of natural resistance, another aspect, too, that I did not know intuitively, other than the fact that it's just what we did as kids, I played in the dirt. I mean, yeah. My brother and I, we used to, you get those little plastic army men, or you'd have the Tonka trucks, and you'd be playing in the dirt and building and making roads and so forth, and you're kicking up the dust, and you're inhaling that dust, right?
Yes.
And I've heard it said, and it's been scientifically and or medically proven, that there, back when I was growing up anyway, there were things in the soil that when you ingested them or inhaled them, they actually helped your immune system.
Well, and as you're saying, the new science shows that the children that are allowed to crawl on the floor and interact with their environment, actually, the more we're exposed to at an early age, actually does stimulate the immune system to be aware of who am I, what is my body, and what are those other things. And it's exposing the children at a young age that stimulates that knowledge, that, again, that body wisdom, the inner wisdom and knowing of the body of who is me and who is them.
Well, it's
all the other organisms.
Exactly. It's one of those things where, and I don't mind saying this, that I cannot remember, and it has to be 20, 30, maybe even 40 years since I've had a flu shot. Mm. Have I gotten the flu? Probably. You know, I've probably been laid up in bed for a few days. You know, it was either a respiratory or a gastrointestinal type of flu. And I'm still here. I'm alive.
Yes. I think the key really is our own natural immune ability to survive our environment is really, health doesn't come from those outer things. It comes from inside, and we don't, get sick because we didn't take a pill for lack of a pill.
Mm-hmm.
So
talk to me, if you would, please, because I'm very curious about this. Talk to me about the red cloud.
Oh, very good. That was the red cloud came and spoke to me in that way, and I think represented as the red cloud because it meant something to me personally. And there we go about our personal experience being part of how our intuition can talk to us. And there is a chant called the Divine Gypsy, and one of the lines is one of my favorite spiritual chants. It talks about singing to the wind and the clouds and my red cloud. And when I was, the way I learned to write is to get into my right brain and really let my left brain go. No judgment, just let what flows through me to flow. And as I was writing in one of my writing sessions, the red cloud came and started to talk to me. And I feel that was the representation of actually my intuitive connection to God or spirit coming through and speaking to me. And it's very interesting because I almost didn't put that part in the book. I thought people are going to think I'm crazy. And I've had some feedbacks in the reviews and in people sending me emails to my website that was very important for them that I put that in there and that they have come to be able to understand when one woman was speaking of doing a drawing that she didn't quite understand the drawing and where it was coming from. And after she read the chapter about the red cloud, she realized that was her spirit speaking through her and giving her a message through what she was being inspired to draw, even though she didn't understand it from her intellectual mind. But when she opened to that, perhaps it was spirit talking to her, she received the message. So that's my hope and my encouragement for people to open themselves to having that relationship with spirit. And some of the messages there in the book are, I think, apropos for everyone, that we are all loved and accepted and needing to open and have that relationship with spirit. However we call it, God, goddess, supreme being, universal intelligence, however we want to use that term to call what's greater than us that we are a part of.
Well, I do have to acknowledge that you are crazy, but so am I, so we're in good company.
I love that, right? We're all a little bit crazy, but we don't know it.
And actually, there's a certain amount of necessity for being a little bit crazy because you have to start throwing off a lot of the old ways of thinking. With this program, Paradigms, Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, we're looking for those new ways of living. And I've used the analogy of a lifeboat, and there's enough room for everybody. Absolutely. There's only one condition for admittance of the lifeboat. You have to be willing to let go of the old ways of thinking because they don't work anymore.
They don't work anymore. And it's so true. That's why also when you ask about why was I inspired to write the book, I've been seeing in my practice over the last 30 years, and one of the trends that's starting to happen is people actually have a fear of their own body when they start to have symptoms of some kind, be it pain or a disease process starting. There's a real fear that the body's doing something to them. And I want people to know that your body is your greatest ally. It's trying to deliver a message through to you. And instead of feeling that it's doing something to you, is to listen and acknowledge, thank you for sharing with me. And the way that we feel and the diseases that present, the emotions that we habitually entertain, are actually teaching us about what in our life perhaps needs to grow or change or what we need to pay attention to. So I see that trend, and I also see a trend of people, even though they're choosing alternative therapies, acupuncture, herbology, naturopathic, whatever it be, there's a sense of still, you know, as people used to go to the doctor years ago, fix me. I don't want to know what's wrong. Just fix it. And that's really the new paradigm is I'm taking an active role in my health. Where is the greatest wealth of information about oneself is within yourself. So to take an active role with whatever practitioner you're working with, even be it you need medical treatment, God forbid, but if there's a need for that, by listening and making your body an ally, you'll get not only heal faster, if you will, you'll also have an insight into your life. And that's healing on a greater scale than just the body.
You know, for the longest time, I fought the whole medical thing because, you know, I don't know, maybe I was also in the same category that you described, you know, afraid of what my body was saying. And I would tell people, I just don't want to know. You know, if I've got a terminal something raging through, I just don't want to know. I want to stay happy and optimistic right up until the end. And then I got to thinking about it a little more, maybe a little more seriously, and realizing that, well, okay, that's all fine, well, and good. You could do that. And you may not outlive your great-grandmother who lived to be 100.
Oh.
Or you could begin this process, find out you're doing really well, and maybe catch things along the way.
Yes.
For example, I went for my very first, at the age of 50, we all have to do it, but I waited until 55 to have my first colonoscopy.
Uh-huh.
They actually found a tiny little benign little polyp or little bubble or whatever it was, right?
Right, uh-huh.
Now, I waited those 5 years, not because I was afraid, just because I could, for whatever reason, couldn't get my schedule set up to go in and do the thing and blah, blah, blah. And then I got to thinking about that. Do you realize that if I had gone in at age 50 and had it, they would have not seen it? I wouldn't go in until age 60, and who knows what that little thing would have turned into in 5 years.
Yes.
Timing, divine timing. Let's talk about that when it comes to our health and well-being.
Well, I was hoping you would ask, because I feel so much about divine timing. There is so much that we are constantly being guided. And sometimes it seems just like coincidence or a lucky break or something like that. But I do believe that there is an interaction with each of us with that power that's greater than us, with spirit. And it is guiding us. So when, for instance, we hear stories about people thinking, well, something just isn't right, and they'll go get all the tests, and all the tests say nothing's wrong. And they say, no, you know, something's not right. I feel it. I know it. And then they find something and are able to do whatever it is. Thank God we have modern science when we need it. But the key is, just like for you, for whatever reason, you didn't go at 50, but something inspired you after all this time of not really being involved with medical things, and something inside you said, it's time. I'm going to make time in my schedule, and I'm going to do it. And they found this little tiny thing when it was still benign. And I think that divine time, you were being guided other than consciously, and I call that is intuition. Mm. And I feel intuition is the bridge between our soul and our ego consciousness, and the soul is omniscient. It knows everything, and it can get the messages through to our ego, and we take the actions necessary to play the correct step in our life next. And the more we listen, the better at it we can get. I think we can consciously listen also. So.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as I said earlier, when I go to an intuitive, I'm asking them questions knowing that I already know the answers. But for whatever reason, I feel as though I need that external confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle that with people in terms of their own level of awareness of their own intuition, of what their body is saying? And I guess really what I'm really wanting to come around to is, how do you teach people to listen?
This is a great question, and I've been teaching workshops on developing your own intuition and learning to listen, and I try to do so with each of my clients. And some people are more inclined than others. Some people I touch, and it might not be the person you think. It might be the guy digging ditches or moving rocks, but it's so individual that I can touch some people, and they'll feel the energy moving and their body shifting under my hands. So they have a natural listening. Those that don't, I can start with, what do you feel between my hands? Usually the most common thing first is warmth. And then I'll have them focus on that warmth. And as I stay in this place, notice what starts to happen. And some people are expecting something big, like a big knock or something. But as I feel things happening, I can say, do you feel that slight pulse there? And they'll say, oh, my gosh, that's so subtle. I didn't think you meant that subtle. Yes. And as I can encourage people to start to listen to those very subtle movements or feelings within, and it's as if they turn up the radio themselves, and then they can start to feel other things. And then in a workshop setting, what I do is use body-mind movement exercises where people lie on the floor, and using an inductive voice, I lead people into an experience of their body with very gentle movements, and they start to be able to hear the voice of their body. And it's very exciting. And that's my workshop series is all about that.
So talk to me about the people that come to you. Do you have strictly those who are in that mindset, if you will? Or do you have people who are of a belief system that, in one sense, does not acknowledge or believe that these things will work, but yet they're there willing to give this a shot? And I mean, they've tried everything else, or someone suggested that, hey, you ought to go see Tony.
Yes.
What kind of folks have you got coming to you?
Well, Santa Fe is an interesting place in that there are a lot of people here who have experienced alternative methods of healing and are very interested in it. So I do get those people. And I do, being a chiropractor, which is now so much more mainstream, and having had great success with people, I do get a lot of referrals of people who have maybe even never had a massage, never been touched outside of their relationship, and they have no idea of what I'm doing, and maybe somebody tells them, just go to her. She's really good. She will explain it to you. I can't explain what she's doing. You have to go. And so I'll get people who are very much on a physical level just wanting relief of perhaps a disc injury or an ankle or an elbow or a shoulder or something. I'm very on a physical level. And I always ask, are you interested in knowing what your body might be trying to tell you with this? And most people say yes. Some people say, I don't want to know. I just want you to fix it. So I start to work on them, and I'm quiet. And usually after one or two, three visits, they'll say, you know, I told you I didn't want to know what you're doing, but I want to know what you're doing. And that's where the door opens, and I can start to explore with them.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing, too, that I get frustrated in this particular region. I know that you have experienced this being a chiropractor, and I remember working for a radio station back in Phoenix and in the 80s, and chiropractic back then was not accepted. It wasn't covered by insurance. It was probably under the same stigma that a lot of the present day alternative methods, acupuncture, acupressure, Reiki, and so forth, are. Mm-hmm. And my present wife, has been dealing with or was dealing with some pain. She went to this acupuncturist. First of all, she went through the proper insurance procedures.
Yes.
Went to the practitioner And over the course of 3 months, had, I don't know, 10 or 12 treatments. And we're now talking 2.5 years since the last treatment. Zero pain in that area. Zero. Now, has another pain in another joint. Wants to go to acupuncture. Insurance company won't cover it. In spite of the fact that everything else that they prescribed for her didn't work on the previous pain, they want to do the same regimen. And this is where I get a little frustrated, because I want to go to the decision maker and say, do you have a medical degree? Are you a physician? Have you read her medical report, her chart?
Right.
And I will bet you the answer to all of those questions is no. Which
Usually, you're right.
Says to me, wait a minute. I thought there were laws in the states of the United States prohibiting people from practicing medicine, and that's what these people are doing, and nobody's challenging them.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the insurance lobby has become so strong. I stopped taking insurance actually years ago. I give receipts and people can get reimbursed, but yeah. I stopped taking it myself because the game they want us to play is so devious. A few years ago, the state of New Mexico required that all chiropractors take this Medicare training. Even though I don't take Medicare, they wanted us to take this training of how to fill out the papers. And it was so devious in the way they wanted us to collude with them. I think there were 5 reasons someone could get Medicare payment, you know, for a chiropractor, and you had to have 3 of the 5 reasons, and as soon as you went to only 2 of the 5 reasons, we were supposed to put a certain letter code on the back of the code so they would know to reject it, so that then they could tell the client they were rejected, the patient, and it just seemed, I said, oh my God, I can't believe how it's become so convoluted. They're in complete control. And the people making decisions usually are not medically trained. They, even we've seen recently in these expose stories about insurance, that they're trained, the first people, to deny everything the
yes.
first time through.
Mm-hmm.
Deny everything. They don't even look at it. Just deny.
Yeah.
And so we are in a state in our country, and hence, you know, going back to what I'm trying to teach people is that if you can really take charge and responsibility, like you have mentioned, of your body and your health, and really know what's happening in your body, you're so much more well-informed. And when you go to the doctor and have to interact with them, and coming from a place of knowledge, perhaps you'll get more more response from them. And I don't know, it seems to find a good primary care practitioner who will actually listen to you, that is key.
Yeah.
That they actually listen to you, not just shuffle you through. You know?
One of the things, too, that I find quite extraordinary, and it's in a wonderful way, and I'm also curious as to what your intuition has told you over the years, but there are people, myself and my wife included, who basically, we're I don't know how close we are to considering even doing this in terms of just dropping, stopping the payments on the premium, saying, no more. We're going to take that money and we're going to do with it what we want, and say to heck with the insurance companies. The problem, though, is that when you have, and especially as we enter our later years, certain conditions that, at least as far as we know, Tony, need to be treated by orthodox medicine. I mean,
right.
What if somebody has, I don't know, let's say someone has a pacemaker or someone has some other kind of condition that they've been treated by traditional medicine for decades for this. They're in their 70s or their 80s. You're not going to drop your insurance because that's the only thing that's keeping you financially alive. And it's hard to find a practitioner, alternative health, that has the licensing and the education to deal with those things. So how do you help someone in those regards?
Well, it is true that there may come a time when each of us, you know, the body being what it is, the body is impermanent. And there may come a time where there's a big choice of what kind of treatment am I going to receive for this ailment, where things have advanced in such a way, just like you're saying, that sometimes if we're really in tune, many times we can find things or encounter, understand that something is starting to happen that we don't want to happen, and we can take charge with a wheatgrass juice cleanse or some other kind of cleanse and totally heal that disease. And then maybe we don't hear something, and something is insidious and growing in us that we don't know what it is. And it gets to such a point where there's a drastic type of decision that needs to be made. And I think it is, again, so individual of what, you know, are you going to cut some part out or are you going to get it replaced? And I think it really depends on the beliefs of the person and how far they want to go. And one of the problems now today is, let's say you have an accident and you crush your leg. It's not, you know, you have to do something. You can't leave the crushed leg. And putting wheatgrass on it, and I believe in wheatgrass juice treatment, is not going to heal that leg.
Mm-hmm.
So do we get it reconstructed? Do we get some kind of a hip replacement or perhaps even amputation is necessary? If you don't have insurance, you're stuck,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because mm-hmm.
these things cost tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So to have some kind of, God forbid if something happens, or are you ready to die at 35 when your leg gets crushed, you know, so it's really crazy how, you know, how we're really stuck between a rock and a hard place.
But how is the medical profession in general, now I'm really a broad brush stroke here. I'm including you and everybody else in the medical profession, health and welfare, if you will. How has it changed since you graduated from chiropractic school in 1985 for the better? Have you seen significant, I don't want to say advancements, because that we're talking, you know, R&D and that type of thing. But I'm talking about in terms of taking care of ourselves, taking responsibility, but also in terms of the medical profession and how it has improved in its ability to, and I put it this way, to facilitate our healing as patients.
It's a good question. I feel that I saw myself in my practice in Puerto Rico when I first opened my practice, 1985, 1986, when people came to me, I would give my whole spiel and show their x-rays, and this is what I'm going to do, and blah, blah, blah. And then they would say, in Spanish, y la pastilla, which means, and the pill? You know, what pill are you going to give me? Mm-hmm. And I would say, I just got done explaining, no pills. This is, you know. And then after about 3 or 4 years, when people came to me, they said, I came to you because you don't give pills. You're going to help me to allow my body to heal from the inside out. So I think the people have definitely become more and more aware and waking up to the fact that, of course, if you eat better, if you exercise, if you get some kind of body work that is the best that you respond to, you're going to be much healthier overall. Stress will be reduced. You're going to be happier in your life. And so I think people are learning to take more responsibility, or at least are interested in that.
Yeah.
It's starting to happen. The wave is going that way. The medical, I feel, is they have gotten strangled by the insurance companies, too. So it's hard to find a doctor who's not stressed out over they only have 10 minutes to see each person, and they have to fill out more paperwork than it takes time to see the person.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been a real change and a shift that has prevented even really good, caring people, physicians, from being able to do the job they could do if they weren't mired in paperwork from the insurance company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it raises the question, who is the doctor's doctor? You know, who do they go see for the stress-related conditions that now they have to deal with? And again, I find it interesting that if the insurance companies, to just maybe delve down this road one more time, if the insurance companies actually were interested in money, the bottom dollar, the bottom line, they'd want to get these people well and do preventative health care rather than, I mean, because I can only imagine, my wife, she went through chemotherapy back in 2001 for 6 months. after her surgery, hasn't been free and clear of it ever since. But what if there could have been a diagnosis 6 months earlier that could have taken out whatever it was that was benign, and it would have been over, done. And guess what? The insurance company doesn't pay another dime.
Right, right. It doesn't make sense, really, what we're doing right now. And, you know, hence my hope to, again, if we could learn to tune in a more fine and finer way, we might even ourselves be able to tell, you know, I have this funny feeling, for instance, in my breast, and I know it's not right. And even if they told me the test says no, do the test again. Do a different test, because I know something's wrong in there before it gets bad.
Yeah.
But our lives are so busy now. It really takes a dedication to ourselves and making our body our ally, making our life our own, where we etch out time, eke out time that is for our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with spirit, and go from there, because then we'll be informed from a higher source, just like we're saying about you with your colonoscopy. If we could know from an intuitive, from a higher knowledge, when something's starting, if we would but listen, I think we all have the ability to know these things before any machine, and we need to spend time with ourselves and quiet and away from the emails and the, you know, I got an email, I got a text and all that. We really need to tune in and sharpen our intuitive capability to really take charge of our own health. And that's my message.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the program, but I want to thank you again for joining us on the program, talking with Dr. Toni Rivera. She is a licensed chiropractor, doctor of chiropractics, and she has a book out called The Propelled Heart, Moving from Injury to Insight. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, and we want you to stay right where you are. And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, along with Dr. Toni Rivera, author of The Propelled Heart. And we are talking about your health, your wellness, and we're talking a lot about, a big portion about, our intuition. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people in the West in particular, I would venture, Toni, they're not only are they not listening to their bodies, but they're also not listening to that still small voice because of what you mentioned right at the end of the last segment was our lifestyle, our busy schedule, and all of the things that we think we need to be doing. I have to say that at the time of our conversation, I had an incredible weekend where for the first time in several months, And of course, this sensation has been there for several weeks up to this point. I felt so good that I wanted to take on a project that needed to be dealt with where we live. And so my wife and I went out and we took on this task, which we probably spent maybe an hour, hour and a half doing. And it was rather physically exerting for me, to the point where As I am coming in the house to change, to get cleaned up and so forth, she says, "Are you all right?" And I'm fine. Why? She says, "Because you look beat." I says, "Well, yeah, but I was just out there doing this thing." But see, she's concerned from a different level because she knows what health conditions or condition primarily is just one that I'm dealing with, which is high blood pressure, hypertension. And I say, "No, I'm feeling fantastic. I mean, I matter of fact, this morning when we took my blood pressure reading, which is less than 24 hours since that activity, it was like, what was it, 127 over 62 or something? You know, that's not bad, considering that it's
very good.
It's running in the 130s and 140s, which that brings me to another question of normality in test results. Who's to say that my normal blood pressure isn't in the 130s, 140s, as far as the top number? I mean, how am I supposed to know? And then my mother, of course, she tells me, "Well, high blood pressure runs in the family, you know, and I take my pill." And so I take my pill, and they did all the tests. found
right?
They found nothing. And I said, you're not going to, because it's not in the test results. It's in my head.
Yeah.
It's the lifestyle. It's the lifestyle, and I'm thankful.
Well, it's true. I mean, and look how almost everything that are our big killers in our country have been related to stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, how much we need, and I've seen there's a new spa opening in Santa Fe, or opened in Santa Fe, that is all about taking a digital detox and getting away from your busy life and turning off everything and, you know, walking in the woods and looking at nature. And we need this. Mm-hmm. We are of nature. We need to be in touch with that part of ourselves, you know, to de-stress and calm it all down. My goodness.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better. And it's one of the things that's been focused on by many of our guests on this program is just that reconnecting with nature. We've become so disconnected, and it doesn't have to be a big deal. You could just go to a park in your city where you have trees and birds and so on and so forth. I mean, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and there are big parks in Phoenix that you can go to disconnect and de-stress, if you will. Just sit at the base of a tree. I mean, lean up against that tree and feel that energy and get grounded and so forth. I mean, I moved here to Santa Barbara, California, because I needed to be near the ocean. Don't know why exactly, but again, that intuition once again.
Exactly. And I think, you know, our body is of nature. And taking those moments, I have exercises in my book, The Propelled Heart, which is available on Amazon.com. And I just made number one this week on Kindle and my paperback. So
congratulations.
Thank you. I have exercises after each chapter, body, mind, exercise, where you go inside and get quiet for a moment and learn to listen to your breath, to the signals from your body, which that's a piece of nature we have with us all the time. Even just to close your eyes for a couple of seconds and go inside really can build into a health-making regime
mm-hmm.
that each person can use. And on my website, which I wanted to be sure to mention,
please. Yes.
Is TonyLuisaRivera.com. That's TonyLuisaRivera. Have to get the Luisa in there.
Mm-hmm.
That TonyLuisaRivera.com. You can receive the MP3 downloads of the exercises. So you can actually hear my voice leading you through the movements and the exercises to explore yourself and your body and your health.
And I love the technology today. You can download those, put them on your phone, and listen to them anytime you want. You know, before we go, I would like to, first of all, thank you for sharing your time and rearranging your schedule, because I know you're still in practice, so you have patients to see, and you're also doing interviews on a regular basis as well. So we really do appreciate the time that you have taken to share with us today.
Well, thank you so much, Richard, for having me. I'm just fascinated with what you're doing with your show. And tell me your story. I mean, this is an amazing, each person has such amazing wealth to share.
Absolutely.
And when we share with each other, we learn and grow.
And before we go, three final questions, and we'll make them brief. Who is Tony Rivera?
Tony Rivera is a soul expressing in this life her love of people and sharing her wealth of knowledge.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I hope to achieve that each person can know that the power to heal is within them and that they hold all the necessary knowledge within their own body, mind, spirit, and emotions.
And what is your life's purpose?
My life purpose is to increase the awareness of others, of themselves, and to know God in this life.
And if you should find your way to Santa Barbara, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Oh, I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay. Well, then we look forward to having you in studio in the not-too-distant future. And again, thank you so much. Tony Rivera, DC, who is a doctor of chiropractic, for the time, as well as the book, The Propelled Heart, Moving from Injury to Insight. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.